Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bishop.
Braden Holtby!
Well, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. Bid you welcome to all Caps fans around the globe, especially in the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and the District of Columbia. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, the beautiful, wonderful, talented, absolutely stunning mermaid mentalist, Anna Knox.
Yeah, I'm going to stumble over that one. I thought you were going to say absolutely sarcastic, and I would have been like, oh, that works. But stunning, yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but that's okay. I'll take it. Thank you. And, yeah, so how about those playoffs?
Yeah, how about them indeed? So, yes, it is once again that stomach-churning time of year where we, the Washington Capitals fans, get to suffer through this team doing what they do, which, as Isabel Kershutian wrote in today's article summarizing last night's game, ulcer-inducing. Could not have described it any better myself if I had a thesaurus or tyrannosaurus or stokosaurus or whatever. Okay, so let me preface this by saying if you want 30 minutes of, hey, look on the bright side, go elsewhere. But at the same time, if you want 30 minutes of, this team sucks, they'll never win a playoff game, much less a series ever again, again, go elsewhere. Anna and I discussed this beforehand. We are going to take a realistic approach because when you look at the games, there are things to be proud of and there are things to be disappointed in. And of course, the latter is what they're going to have to work on. And the fact of the matter is that what we are working with here is a best of seven game series, meaning you have to win four games to win, not two. So it can look bad at certain points, but again, you have to win four out of seven. Now that means our Washington Capitals have to win four out of the next five scheduled games if they want to move on to the next round,
right.
Which, yes, no lie, it is daunting. It will not be easy. But then again, we already knew that. We knew it was going to be a pretty tough series going in. So, I mean, what'd you expect? We had two games. The both of them went into overtime. Okay? So if you think about it, I'm a glass half full here. Yes, it could have easily gone the other way. So don't wanna overgeneralize that too much, but that is certainly one way to look at it. So what we're gonna do, as we always do, stats wise, cover the. I'm gonna go game by game real quick. Don't wanna spend too much time on it because. Our duty, I would say, is to you, the Caps fan. And I know, look, I don't want to sound too corny and overblown about this and cliche.
Yeah, you do. You do.
But I'm going to anyway.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a statement by you if it wasn't corny or
sure.
Whatnot.
Sure.
So go for it.
Well, okay. So what I'm trying to say is, We feel your pain here at the Power Play Point podcast because, above all else, we are both Caps fans ourselves. And we've been Caps fans for a while. And so we know what to expect and what, just to give you an idea, it's Monday evening, 20 after 8 p.m. Anna just got finished recording another Caps Talk portion of the Sports on the Hill podcast, which, as we speak, is still playing now. For the rest of the show, you who are fans of the Nats, Wizards, etc., etc., all things DC sports, but through it by understanding what you saw. Everybody thinks they know what they saw, but we're going to try to explain it a little bit better so that anybody that is standing on the ledge right now, we're going to try and talk off of it, talk you down from there. And, I hate to add to the reputation that this show is, as a couple of my friends once called it, the Caps couch trip, but that's kind of what we are. So, to start with, of course, game one, which took place last Thursday.
Right.
Of course, it was a 4-3 loss in overtime. It began fairly well with Evgeny Kuznetsov scoring his two goals in the first period. They looked great. They played great. And then the Jackets came within one in the second. Still looked good. Then they tied it early in the third. Devontae Smith-Pelly brought them in head with a beautiful assist, backhand spin pass by Vrana, Jacob Vrana.
Which I love.
To put them up 3-2. And then Seth Jones tied it late in the third to bring it into overtime. And then who should score 6 minutes overtime but Artemi Panarin?
Panera, I know.
He of the bread shop. by the way, they make some pretty damn good green tea, I gotta say. One of my favorite things I ever liked to drink. But
really?
Yeah, actually.
Like, it's green tea. Like, what could they possibly do to make a?
But it's they put a little bit of pear flavoring in it.
Oh.
No, not pear, papaya.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds so good, but...
Not too much. It doesn't overpower it. And, people probably screaming right now, is this Caps Hockey or the Food Network? No, it's Caps Hockey. So the vital stats in this game, for once, the Caps came out swinging and outshot the Jackets 30-27. Probably the most key stat, and I hate to admit it, but what turned out to be a key stat was the faceoff win percentage. Columbus had the clear edge, 55% to 45%.
Mm-hmm.
Power plays, Caps were 2 of 6. Jackets were 2 of 4. That also turned out to be a key stat. As far as penalty minutes, the Jackets had more. Jackets were also out-hitting the Caps slightly. It was a pretty even game. And this will apply to game two, but what I saw was great first period, kind of okay second period, and third period,
it was bad.
Not good enough to win.
Right. And you and I spoke before, and I'll, ride the Gill wave on this one. It was not 60 minutes of hockey from the Caps at all. They came out great. You think you've got a home game. You've got 17,000 Rock the Red fans out there, and it's, should be anything... absolute adrenaline rush. And what the hell? Like, they look great for 20 minutes, and then, second period, I mean, the Smith-Pelly goal, super impressive. Vrana, super impressed. Stepped up. I mean, it was great. But I'm going to say that it's like you had that nasty Kempney injury, which sucked for him having to go out in the first period. And then what the... My boy Tommy. I mean, really charging.
Well, he didn't have any cash on him.
No. Mm. My boy Tommy, I can't tease. It's too serious. So yeah, charging. And it wasn't a
shitty hockey
call. He totally put himself in that situation. But it, just the fact that we're talking about it after 80-something games going into the playoffs, that for me, anything that has to do with charging or tripping is just absolute at this state, you know, this stage of the game. Like, I can't. So I will have to say that I'm, you know, a little disappointed in my boy Tommy on that game. I'm not happy. I thought it was stupid. Stupid call, stupid penalty, stupid play. Like, he was out there more to, like, you know, be a hothead and not have his head in everything else into the game as much as we needed him. So I'm disappointed. And then the overtime just sucks. It just sucks. So, and then now that we've had it twice, it's like, come on. So, yeah. So we said we were not going to make this, like, you know, terrible, you know, typical DC Sports Caps can't make it through podcast. That is our negative. We got the negative out, although there's some negatives in the second game I'm sure we can get into. And then we're going to end on a happy note. Right?
Yes.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, well, we're going to try. So the second game, and there was a difference on the other side of things, and I'll explain myself in a little bit. But the second game basically was a carbon copy of game one. And I want to make sure I get that right. I know he scored two goals. I'm not sure if that was spread out over...
It was. Okay. There was one in the first and one in the second.
Yeah. There was. Okay. All right, great. Thanks for correcting moi.
My pleasure.
But yes, so he ended up with two goals.
Well, I can tell you what happens.
Oh, okay, I got it now. So Jay okay. Beagle opens the scoring... And that I think
was awesome.
Awesome is the perfect word for it, because I just about jumped off the couch when I saw it. I know that provided the shot in the arm for the Caps fans. And here's where I'm going to explain myself. I'm sorry, but I have to take a lot of my fellow fans to task, because in game one, it was too much like, the fan reaction was too much like, okay, we're punched in the gut, we're defeated, even though the game-tying goal wasn't a game-losing goal at that time. You know, mm-hmm. Still had overtime, but by all accounts, you could hear a pin drop amongst the crowd, and that should not be.
I agree.
Overtime, yes, it can be a kick in the proverbial gonads. It can also be... Yes. It can also be that high of highs. And that's why you're on the edge of the seat. That's why there's nothing like it. It's a drug that you cannot get off of. It's a sickness no doctor can cure. Name the lyric from that song and claim it. But, you know... We had something like that when Jay Beagle scored, because there were doubts as if he would even make it into this series. And for him to get in front of the net and get that sweet deflection, it was just what the doctor ordered after the previous game. And then Ovechkin followed up with his first, of course, that being a PPG. Jackets come back, make it 2-1. That bastard Cam Atkinson again. Well, not again. That was his first. And then 4 minutes into the second, Ovechkin gets his second, another PPG. Jackets tie it and then move into the lead, and then Oshie ties it late in the third. Guess what? We're going into overtime, and there was a goalie switch, actually, on our end. More on that later. And then, unfortunately, Matt Calvert wins it 12 and a half minutes into OT to put the team up 2-0. Okay, so as Anna said, we got to get rid of the bad, get the bad out of the way, the glass half empty portion. Okay, so what, in my mind, were the two keys, and Anna already mentioned this, but the two keys to Caps not coming out the winner in all of this were, one, complete lack of discipline in taking penalties, and two, complete failure to play a 60-minute game. It just seemed like they ran out in front and then forgot there was a whole other 25 to 30 minutes and beyond to the game. They cannot have that mindset. They cannot have that mentality or physicality even as their approach for the rest of the series. If they do, they will lose.
Absolutely. Well, it's like, you know, there's nothing more annoying than being a fan of any team that can't, that is not considered a second half team. And the Capitals are proving that. You cannot play a sport, whether, you know, it's so you have 60 minutes, whether it's quarter periods, however it breaks down, you cannot give, you know, your 110% in the beginning and then fade towards the end in the freaking playoffs. No way. No way. They should be playing fresh. They've had time off. They should have adrenaline. They're at home. There's no excuse. And plus, that whole jinx or stupid, you know, mind
Finland!
That we have with Pennsylvania. We're not playing them. So step up. So yes, I'm sorry. I'm getting back to the negative. But it was the penalties, and it was the fact that at, you know, 60 minutes, I would say they probably played 27 good minutes of hockey, and the second half, the remaining 33 minutes, not so much. So not completely unacceptable.
And I would agree with that most certainly. And so for the fans' part, as I mentioned before, in the first game, you could hear a pin drop, and it was extremely disappointing for our fans to react that way, I thought, and a lot of folks thought.
Yeah.
But I think the fans came back and showed their true colors and made a lot of noise and were really into it, and to the point where I caught the replay of the telecast, and Joe Beninati made a point of saying, well, wow, look at the decibel meter. It's over 100 right now. And that's because of all the noise the Caps fans were making. So, you know, you can't say they weren't into it, but like you said, Anna, the team has to feed off of that. They have to, you know, gain that energy. It's like I said in the last episode, fans sit through and watch games. Fanatics help win them. And I think the crowd did a better job of trying to be fanatics. And I don't know. They had their chances. A certain player who will remain nameless had a yawning, pretty much empty net and unfortunately could not put it away. shades of the 98 final. But you know, that's just the way the puck bounces sometimes. And
it is.
Just
well, and it's
not
just,
to be
it,
in this game.
It what kills me is, you know, you should have that adrenaline rush going into just the fact that you're in the playoffs. Like, that should be, you know, freaking amazing as is. And then you've got, you know, 19,000 people in red and Wes Johnson announcing and, you know, songs that get you amped up or whatever it is. That's amazing. Like, we should have gone into this series 2-0 and then heading to Columbus been like, okay, so here's your chance to have, you know, your fans go crazy and not get in our heads and we're going to play just as hard. But now we've got to go up against, you know, an entire stadium of Blue Jacket fans and we're down 2 games. And so it's just, you know, it's like the fans, like, you have to just be in it all. If we have to be in it, if, okay, how about this? If the players have to be in it for 60 minutes, the fans have to be in it for 60 minutes.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And
exactly
it shouldn't
right.
waver.
No.
So I think when I'm looking at social media and people are already like, moo, typical and all that kind of, it really just irritates me and I, you know, I sometimes respond and the majority of the time I don't, because I feel like there are just trolls out there that just want to take this team or take this area and say typical. Well, I don't want typical. I'm not a typical fan, you know. I want to see this team win and I'm gonna, you know, give it all I've got and all my support. And yes, I'm gonna be frustrated. But I'm going to just continue to rock the red until they say, okay, you know, if they have to say, okay, you know, they're out. But I'm going to rock the red hoping that, you know, this is our year. And it's our team. So why would you – what's the point of watching a team to say, the ha-ha, I told you so? I never understood that with people, ever.
Well, I get that, and so I think we'll close that side of things.
Yeah.
By saying that, yes, we should be into it for the full 60 minutes plus, yeah. And you know that's just that's what it's going to take. And now I get that some of you are out there, but it's really really painful to watch. Yes, it is painful to watch. I get that. I totally get that. But the game's not over until that final horn blows, and the series isn't over until somebody has won 4 games. So
right.
this thing is not over yet. It may feel like it, but you have to get beyond that. You have to look
right.
at the
and
fact...
And I know... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine. Just going to finish my thought here. You have to look beyond the fact that, yes, there's a 2-0 hole, but at the same time, there are also potentially 5 games left. And somebody's got to win 4 total.
Right.
So.
No pressure. But I will say, and I know I shouldn't make this reference, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are going to give a big frickin' eye roll and whatever. I don't give a shit. As a sports fan and as a Red Sox fan, I sat through that Red Sox Yankee series where everyone thought, oh, that's it. You know, Yankees got this, whatever. They came back. They won. It was a phenomenal series. This, you know, 2 years ago, you've got the Patriots playing the Falcons and oh my God, it was, you know, an abomination and Tom Brady's team comes back and wins and it was outstanding. So not that I'm going to sit there and compare obviously Washington to Boston sports because I hate the Bruins, but I will say I love when there is a chance for a team to come back. And that's when the fans need to stand by them. They have an opportunity to win the next 4 games or, you know, take it to 7, whatever it is. They earned this position in the playoffs. So we need to support it and we need to root for them and we need to hope that they play their 60 minutes and just keep kicking ass.
Exactly. So. And so you, the loyal Caps fan out there, might be thinking, okay, but they've lost two games. Right. Yes, but it, again, if you think about it, they lost these first two games by the very slimmest of margins, and had it not been perhaps for one, maybe
stupid
two
penalties.
Well, right. One, maybe two stupid mistakes in each game, the tide could have been turned. The result could have been entirely different. So if we're going to go to the other side of it and hang our hat on the good, then it's that. Okay. So what do we have to look at? What do we have to hang our hat on? And that's the fact.
Hi.
What?
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just got all excited there for a second. I was like, Mom, I did put my 2 cents in. No, I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, okay. So what I'm trying to say is, we've got the Caps have done some good things, and they continue to do good things. The power play is clicking. They could be a little bit better, I think, but they're doing well enough. Better than average rate, I would say. The scorers are scoring. Kuznetsov had a pretty good beginning. Ovechkin is scoring. You've got all four lines contributing, I feel like. You had Smith-Pelly score last game with an assist from Vrana. The forwards, I think, are holding up their end by scoring. And that is, that's just something to consider. There's just so much talent up front. You just feel like even if they fall behind, they can do the job in tying and then pulling ahead. And I mean, it just really comes down to a matter of attitude. And wanting it, and not seizing up, and freezing, and dare I say, choking. Now let's call a spade here, all right? But that's really what it comes down to, is to play the 60-minute game and to play to win. Don't play not to lose, but to play to win. And that's really all that is needed here, both in the stands and on the ice, just that attitude of we're out here to win. The object of the game is to win.
Right.
And you don't win by playing undisciplined hockey, by taking dumb penalties, by ignoring your assignment if you're on defense. Okay? Like Christian said two episodes ago, you win games by playing smart hockey. Chip the puck out when you're in danger.
Right.
Dump it in deep when you got a chance. Make them go 200 feet. All right? Little things like that. That's really what it comes down to. Doing the little things right. Just like that. And I think the rest will follow. A very wise woman once told me that if you take care of today, then tomorrow will be taken care of already. You won't have to worry about it. I think that's just the attitude they have to have. Take it one shift at a time.
Well, and honestly, it all comes back to just the basics of the sport. You're, for one, on a team. For two, no, there's no need for careless errors. You know exactly what you need to do. You need to get in the mindset to not just win. Yes, winning is the ultimate thing. Of course it is. But in order to get there, you need to not make stupid errors, stupid passes, stupid penalties. I mean, come on, like we're making, some of our vet players are making, I don't want to say rookie errors, but they are rookie errors. There's no reason for tripping. There is no reason for a tripping call in overtime. Absolutely not. But I feel like moving forward, get back to the basics. You're here, you're on a team, you made the NHL playoffs. Do you know how rare that is? the chance, and I'll go back to that first episode with you months ago, the chances of you making the NHL are like 1 in 30,000. All right, so you're there. You're, you know who your teammates are. You know exactly what's at stake. So step up, do what you're supposed to do. No careless errors. And go out there to win and play the full 60 minutes. Don't come out and do amazing for 20 minutes and then slowly start to fade. That's not the NHL. You're not an NHL hockey player if you're playing 20 minutes and not 60. That's how I see it. So I feel like our team, I don't know what Trotz is going to do. I'm not putting on the coaches because we talked about this, or I've talked about this before. You know, you've got, you're a player, you need to play the sport. When you coach, you coach. So stop putting all the pressure on Trotz. Stop bitching and moaning about him being fired. Stop putting all the pressure on the goaltenders. It is about the team. And you all need to step up and play your position. And no, and like, there should be no penalties. None. And I will say, I'll be the first one to say, I've been disappointed in my boy Tommy. But I think he's had his wake-up call. So I think he's going to go to Columbus and kick ass.
Yeah, hopefully they realize what it's going to take to win the series by now. And if they don't, bitter pill to swallow for anybody listening, but if they don't realize it by now, then I'm sorry. They right. do deserve to
then
lose
Then they
it.
Don't deserve it.
Exactly.
Like, if you can't go in and say, like, this is it, it's, you know, all or nothing, and you're going in like, but maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, there's no halfway. There's no half-assing it in the Stanley Cup playoffs, ever.
God, no. God, no. And, I mean, and watching these other games, like, come on. It's like, I know the Caps have it in them. I do. And I'm not going to listen to people wanting to say this is typical DC or this is like, I agree with you. Like, I'm not going to go down that road because we did have so many positives. God, John Carlson kicked ass. Kuzi, Ovechkin.
I don't think we have anything to worry about on the offensive side of the puck. At all.
No. Oh, my God. See, it is true. It's the Orpik and Orlov.
Yeah, more than a little disappointed in them, but
yeah.
I'm sure adjustments will be made. I have confidence that, you know, they'll be sat down in front of video rooms and say, well, look what went wrong here. Look what went wrong here. Right. Look what you did wrong here. Fix it.
But then you have Carlson and you have Kempney, who was injured and came back and I thought had a great game. You know, it's like, and Jarovec had an assist. There's that. And we've been talking about this all season, that if you have a player that has not been 110%, or they're injured, and the next one that comes up should be equally as good, if not better. You know, so I feel like, you know, so Kempney was out and, someone steps up. Beagle's out and someone steps up.
And but I think we have a roster full of players that are very capable of that. And that's another bright side point. So I'm not even worried about, I think they're going to miss him because he's overall much improved. He's played a much better game.
Yeah.
But the loss of Burakovsky is going to hurt. A bit, but like you just said, we have players on the roster that can step up and fill the role. So I don't think nothing too big a deal to worry about. Okay, so we're starting to run low on time here. I wanted to cover the goalie situation real quick.
Okay.
In fact, I'm just going to say one thing about it. And I noticed you guys were talking about this at some length on Sports on the Hill, but I just wanted to make this one point and put it out there. I think the putting Holtby in the game and more than likely starting him in game three is not so much a notation on Philip Grubauer's play or a comment on that or criticism of that, so much as a wake-up call to the team. And say, hey, this is what we got to do. This is what we got to do. Because you guys are not living up to your responsibilities in clearing pucks from in front of the net, clearing bodies out from out in front of the net, and making sure that no rebounds are created and turned into scoring chances. So, in all likelihood...
I disagree.
Oh, boy.
I'll keep it short.
Go ahead.
But I do. No. I disagree because I feel like we had all the right intentions and all the right reasoning behind putting Grubauer in, and he didn't do, in my opinion, anything wrong. We had nobody in front. He had no support.
That's what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is, so he played and did the right thing, and now it's Holtby's turn. And I feel like it's not that I... No.
I don't think the coaching staff is saying, well, we can't win with Grubauer. I don't think they're saying that at all. I think what they're saying is, look, we are making this major change because you guys are not getting it done in front of Grubauer. So now we're putting Holtby in.
But why should it matter?
Because,
honestly,
because if you don't do anything, you don't make a change, then you don't switch out the part that can be switched out, then the players in front are going to expect business as usual. Because that...
Which is...
It is what you want. But...
Because they should be doing what they're supposed to be doing, regardless of who's between the pipes.
Of
so
course.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Right, but... I mean...
Them putting Holtby in... In my opinion, is to tell the players who have played with him before, like, hey, look, we're going with this guy. He's kicked ass in the past and, you know, all is good. So, you know, continue on and do your thing. But it's not working out that way. He hasn't had the stellar season. He is a damn good goalie and I will never take that away from him. However, he hasn't had the season he's had last year and the year before. He's getting older. He is tired. So for, you know, to put him in to make a statement to me doesn't make sense. It's a rotation and they need to be stepping up regardless of who's between the pipes.
Okay. Let me throw this at
you.
You have a neighbor next door who's making noise. Okay.
Yes.
You want to get their attention. Do you tap on the door or you beat it down with a baseball bat?
Depends on how loud it is and how long it's.
Okay, but
depends on the music.
The point is though, you do the purpose of changing out the goalie is to beat down the door with the baseball bat and get the rest of the team's attention. Say, hey,
but,
you guys are not getting it done.
But name, and I could be completely naive in even saying this, and I'll admit that I'll be stupid if I'm proven wrong, but name a team that has played the same goalie the entire playoffs. Not that it hasn't happened, but I'm just saying that's like, this is the nature of the game. You have two goalies for a reason. So to put Holtby in isn't a statement. It's a, hey, here's the roster. Here's who's goaltending tonight. And it shouldn't matter how the players play. They should be playing 110% because they're in the frickin' playoffs.
Well, they should.
Regardless.
They should. But the point being...
So why putting Holtby in? Why does that have to be a statement?
Because they're not getting it done on the other side of the puck. They're not clearing bodies out. They're not clearing rebounds out. Orlov fall asleep on that stretch pass play that led to the first goal.
But why does that matter? Like, you don't think you would have done that if Holtby was playing the first two games?
It's bullshit. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, it could have been, yes, it could have been Holtby in goal at the time. And then it could have gone the other way in that he would be switched out for Grubauer. That part of it is not where I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the act itself of switching out the goaltender. It's not.
But they do that regardless.
Well, they do that largely to get the skater's attention, to get the team's attention.
I don't think so.
I do.
Okay. Well, I don't agree with that at all.
Well,
you have two goaltenders for a reason.
The point I'm trying to make is that Grubauer, for the most part, there might have been one or two that he could have positioned him, goals that he could have positioned himself better on. But for the most part, he has done exactly as was expected and asked of him. So I don't think you can hang this on him. So my point is, again, this is not a commentary on his play. It is a commentary on the rest of the team not getting it done. And I think what the coaching staff is saying is, hey, look what we have to do because you guys are playing like the crud that's at the end of a piece of toilet paper after it's been used.
Ew. No.
I went to an extreme to make a point that was about going to an extreme to make a point.
Yes, you did. But I will say this. Then if you're going to be a coach and you're going to make a statement about going into the next game and shake things up and whatever else, and you change up your lines, it shouldn't matter who's between the pipes. It should not be a statement. No way.
Well, to me, that's what it is. And so, again, minutes and minutes of dropping the gloves and dusting up and knuckle dusting and all that, and all we get is agree to disagree. Big flipping surprise. But
at least like 75% of the show we were on board.
Well, yeah, I think so. Now, we're a bit over on time, so we're gonna wrap it up here.
Yes.
I want to make one last point. And, big surprise, yes, it's going to be, what else? A history lesson. But it's not going to be ancient history. It's not even going to be ancient NHL history. It's going to be Caps history. Because guess what? Surprise, surprise again. The Washington Capitals have found themselves in a 2-0 hole before. And yes, it was against a John Tortorella-coached team. And you know what happened? They won the next four out of the next five games and won that series. It was in 2009 in the first round against the New York Rangers, found themselves down in a 2-0 hole, and yes, the two games were at home, and they lost them both by one goal each. Hallelujah, you gotta love history repeating itself.
Let's hope so.
And then they came back, they stormed back the next game, won it 4-0, a shutout. Who suggested that a shutout was in order in the next game? Certain young man on the Sports on the Hill podcast is what I heard.
Carol was 100% all over that, and I support that. Hell yeah, Holtby needs a shutout to get out of that mental space he's in.
So it is possible.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I just gave you my Red Sox Patriots example, which I'm sure I'm going to have a bunch of, like, boo comments about me bringing in Boston at all on this sport, you know, on this sports podcast. But it was an example of teams coming back, and it happened to be two teams that I support, but whatever. But, yes, so I'm still rocking the red. I don't care who's between the pipes. They're both qualified. They're both amazing. They're both going to kick ass.
No, the point being made here is that it can be done. This is no time to give up.
Right.
And not only that, we have history on our side in that it can be done.
Yes.
And yes, it was an absolute gut punch, and I hated watching it, but I'm not going to stop believing in this team until I have a reason. I don't have a reason yet.
I don't have a reason either.
Because there's way too much talent for this team to at least not get the task at hand accomplished.
Exactly.
All right.
Look at us agreeing.
Finally, wonders never cease.
It only took, like, what, 80-something games?
Sure. Something like that.
All good.
All good. Absolutely. All right. So I think we're going to stop it here. And tomorrow night's game, of course, is going to be Game 3 and in Columbus. And hoping for a win, of course. Not a must win, as they say, because they'll still be alive technically. But as has been referred to on the Puck Podcast, a high... Rock the red. So for Anna Knox, this is the blue liner on Point signing off, reminding you that to bake a cake, it's sometimes necessary to break a few eggs. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.